reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's first reading, the prophet Malachi speaks to us live about the messenger that would come to prepare the way before the Lord. We know the obvious link that has to the gospel in the birth of the one named John. But Malachi asks, who will endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Then he starts to describe him. He's like a refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye, the burning lye that bleaches. He'll sit refining and purifying silver. That's the way he'll purify the sons of Levi, so that they can offer due sacrifice to the Lord. And he goes on to say that the person will come as Elijah the prophet, and his mission will be to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest the Lord himself come and strike the land with doom. This purification, this bleaching, we would call it, that will happen not just to metals or to clothing, but to souls and bodies, is meant to turn the hearts of fathers to their kids and children to their parents. What does this mean? This doesn't mean that it'll just inaugurate a period of intergenerational felicity. It means that parents are going to begin to concern themselves with what's really most important for their kids, and kids of what's most important for their parents. That they'll start to focus on the greatest gifts of all, the greatest goods. And that's when they begin to recognize that what's needed most is the greatest gift of all, who is God. The parents will begin to ask themselves, how can I most bring God to my kids? Kids will begin to ask, how can I be a sign of that presence of God for my parents? How can I bring them the salvation that the Lord himself has come to inaugurate? That's the mission of John the Baptist, to be able to teach both parents and kids how to love for real and how to have that greatest good of all be their common good, that God is what will bring about this intergenerational love. If the birth of John the Baptist filled the people in the hill country of Judea with amazement, with a holy awe, then what should the birth of Jesus do? If they asked when John the Baptist was born, what then will this child be? then how much more do we have to ask that question? I would like to ask that nobody read the bulletin. It's one thing on Sunday homilies. It's quite another thing during the week. The church speaks about the preaching and the reading of the gospel, that it is then that God speaks live. And this is not just a priest bloviating. The birth of the baby Jesus is not just the birth of a little cherub that we can play around with on our lap, but it's going to be the rebirth in time of a real adoration that should happen in us. So we'll be mentioning at Christmas, the incarnation of the Lord was not a past event that began at the Annunciation, reached a certain climax at the Nativity, and then ended when Jesus ascended into heaven. The child is born for us, not just was born for us. And we need to be filled with that amazement at that incredible gift. And for that to occur, we need the refiner's fire. We need that fuller's lie. We need to be purified of all our distractions, including bulletins, ma'am. Thank you. We need to be purified of all our distractions so that we can focus precisely on Jesus. And the way that that occurs is by becoming small. To be able to adore the Lord requires tremendous humility. It requires the Lord's mercy. It requires our recognizing that we need it. That's why the center of this gospel scene today is not just a curious detail. When St. Elizabeth said, his name will not be Zechariah, his name will be John, and then Zechariah with the tablet confirmed it, it wasn't just any other name. It was a name that meant God is gracious, that God gives his grace, that God, out of his mercy, allows us to come into his presence. That's what grace means and does. And that grace is particularly a grace that brings us to see not only that we're small before the Lord, but that we're great before the Lord. So great, in fact, in his love, not according to our nature, not according to our moral actions, but so great in his love, that he would do all of this for us. And so there's a double action that's supposed to be occurring in the hours that remain prior to Christmas. The first is for us to get small, to become like Jesus, truly childlike, because unless we're childlike, we will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless we're childlike, we will never appreciate Christmas. But at the same time as we get small and childlike, we're called to lift up our heads and see, because our redemption is near at hand, since our Redeemer is near at hand. And our Redeemer will give us that redemption when we go small. And the smaller we go, and the more we receive that Redeemer with adoration, the more we will be able to bring this gift to our children, to our parents, to everyone. And so we say to the King of the nations and the Kingstone of the church, come and save us, whom you formed from the dust, humus, the dirt, the etymological root of humility. Come and save us, whom you formed from the dust. Blow into us anew the spirit of life, that great grace, so that we might, with that ruah of the Holy Spirit, announce this great news to all.